This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's hour four of the G-Bag Nation. Stephen Jones was on with KNC. He sets the agenda for the week, addresses all the important topics on the Cowboys. And we'll get some audio here in just a second. Jerry will be on the Fan tomorrow morning at 7:30. It's a rare schedule adjustment. Jerry must have something real important going on at 8:30 to tweak that. So you will have Jerry on with Sean and RJ tomorrow morning at 7:30.
I think he was listening. He just found out today was National French Toast Day. He dropped the ball this morning. He's going to make up for it tomorrow morning, and so he needs an 8:30 French toast situation.
Damn right.
I can understand that.
Yeah, Brian. I thought it was racial sensitivity training.
That could be it, too. Now, Brian, when were you going to tell me about all these extra ingredients I need to be putting in my French toast? The vanilla? Is this standard? This standard?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it is. And, you know, the thing about it is I think everybody's different about their French toast.
Okay.
Because, like I said,
kind of a choose your own adventure.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I think the thing to me, the most important thing is always the vessel. And the vessel is the bread. Mm-hmm. Or is, you know, and just to use plain, you know, you could use like Texas toast and stuff like that, or thicker.
But yeah, Mrs. Baird's.
Yeah, to me, I can say the best I've ever made was with that challah, which is the Jewish bread.
Challah.
And it is, I mean, it's with the egg on it and all, it's just a perfect vessel for all the things that you want to put on your French toast.
Have you pumping your fist like this when you eat that?
Oh, yeah. No, you can, like, you put that on a plate and set it in front of somebody. You've made something that, man, that took time and you actually cared about breakfast.
Can't put a price on that,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah. Presentation's huge for breakfast in my book.
Did I hear there was a nutmeg involved in the French toast?
Yeah.
Am I the only one that thought nutmegging?
Quarter teaspoon.
This is another one of those deals where we learned with the
you hadn't heard of nutmeg, the seasoning?
I didn't. I thought the nutmegging was only when you dribbled the basketball through the opponent's legs.
Or a
soccer ball. Yeah. Correct. I thought nutmegging was only a sports connotation.
This
I didn't know it was an ingredient.
Thing. This would be a you.
Yeah, the nutmegging was some sort of insult way back in the day.
Which was my favorite.
You were like
a
nutmeg trader or something like that. Like your industry was nutmegging, so you were a complete idiot, for whatever reason.
Term.
Yeah. So the whole nutmegging thing in soccer originated in Europe around the nutmeg trade. I forget the story about it, but
nutmeg's delicious. I think you'd be a fan.
Okay, I'm going with
all,
it.
What all do you do? I mean, I was just curious. What all do you
cinnamon,
put?
Yeah. Milk, eggs. Okay. That's my entire custard or whatever they call it, mixture. The French toast.
Yeah, you're just fine with that.
Okay, again, Jerry on the Fan. It's been delicious.
Yeah.
You know, the butter and syrup will set anything off.
Right.
Jerry on the Fan tomorrow morning at 7:30. Here was Steven asked about Odell Beckham Jr. Does this story concern them or something they need to follow up on?
Well, you get the information, but at the end of the day, we've kind of said what we're going to say about Odell. Certainly, it's getting to that point where this thing's going to get very competitive, and probably the less said, the better. Until we know what that outcome is going to be in terms of where he's going to suit up.
Mike said Mike McCarthy press conference last hour said they're still full speed ahead. But I think this is an interesting one. Maybe 10, 15 years ago, a team would have said, oh, well, you know, we don't know what's going on. We need to get more information. But I think Steven and the Cowboys are like most Cowboys fans, like, whatever, you know. Worst case scenario, the guy just embarrassed himself and got thrown off a flight. I don't think it has any bearing on his ability to be a teammate or a good football player.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. This is, I think you're at a place now in the season where everything is right there in front of you. We're allowing a lot more egregious acts to slide past the velvet ropes and be into the club. This is not going to be one that's going to keep you out.
You still got Kelvin Joseph on the roster?
Wow.
Ooh. I probably should have played that drop, my bad.
So, I mean, hell.
Wrong drop.
I don't think one of the best gunners you got, right?
Yeah. He is a good gunner on the team. I don't think you're too concerned about what happened with the OBJ, and I agree with Eric's sentiments, right? Like, the entire conference is down. You've got a golden opportunity, and your hope is OBJ can come in and he can help you win a playoff game or three, and you can hoist that Lombardi.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe he will end up winning two in a row. Are penalties driving you guys nuts over there here, Stephen Jones?
Yeah, I think anytime you're up there at the top in penalties, that's not good. I think it's a testament to how well we're playing that we're overcoming a lot of that. But that catches up to you when you get to playoff football and you're playing against teams playing at a very high level. That's hard to overcome. Certainly, we got to clean that up, and get that in a place, that it needs to be. But certainly the game against the Giants, it was, certainly not at a level that's acceptable. I know Coach McCarthy is all over it. When you got some of your best players getting the penalties, that adds to some of the frustration, which we did, during this game. But, I just really feel like we can clean this up. And if we want to get to where we want to get to, we're going to have to clean it up.
Why are you shaking your head no, Brian?
They're not going to clean it up.
Why not?
They're just not. They talk about it all the time. They talk about having officials at practice. Mike McCarthy talks about studying the officials. Everything I'm not saying it's lip service. I'm just saying this is a team that has struggled with penalties during, Mike McCarthy's administration here. And, it's pre-snap. It's at bad times on third down. It's after a sack. It's, this team is going to have to learn how, and they have. They've learned how to win games by getting a lot of penalties.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many times on third down they get a stop, and I looked on the field for like, okay, where's the flag for defensive holding? Where's the flag for illegal contact? Where's the flag for hands to the face? Where's, big run. Where's the holding call? It's something they talk about all the time. And, it's a lot of it is about discipline, and a lot of it is about the players that you draft or have part of your program. There are teams, there have been great teams in history that have had a lot of penalties. The Oakland Raiders. Raiders go back, one of the most penalized teams in history, and, have had great teams over the years. Not so much as of late, but this is not going to change. They can get frustrated and talk about it. This is a league-wide problem, by the way. These officials. It's a league-wide problem. You might get lucky and only get called six times a game instead of 10, with some of these officials.
No, you're right, because you're giving us the scouting report about
every
the
week.
Crews.
Every week.
And it's spot on. Right, we need to watch for this from this crew, that from this crew. This is one of the most flag-happy crews, and it's spot on.
Well, God, they're 31st in the NFL.
Yeah.
They had a lot of penalties.
That's the thing with Mike, though. I'm not blaming him. I'm just saying this. They talk about it at nauseam.
Yeah, it's been getting worse too the last month.
And it doesn't do any good. You accept who you are. You're a very penalized team. That's going to be.
You fix this in the off season. Well, with who you bring in,
and you pray that it's not going to be one of those calls that knocks you out of a game. Playoff game.
A lot of times in the heat of the moment, I'm just frustrated by the flag. But when you're watching other games and these penalties happen in huge moments of the game, you're like, how the crap could you let that happen? And it seems like every other week there's multiple plays like that for the Cowboys. I agree with you, Brian. I think by now it's not going away. You're not fixing the run defense.
No, you just got to fight through it. Got to fight through. Now, I'll say this real quick. That, teams like yesterday, Tennessee got a penalty for running over the center on a field goal.
Cost them the game.
Yeah, cost them the game. See, that's the kind of stuff when you're the rule. You can't hit a defenseless player.
Yeah.
Centers are considered defenseless on special teams plays. That's just, coaches could, they teach don't hit the center. What do players do? They hit the center, get a big penalty.
You see, Russell Wilson got into it with one of his defensive linemen who got a flag on a field goal.
Yeah.
Comes back over to the sideline. They're saying everything's fine now.
Purcell.
Purcell. Purcell. Could you imagine what happened? You say something and you're like, how about you throw another touchdown, bro? It's been a while.
Yeah.
And then they're back and forth at each other's throats. But that's, I think that's two teams in a row where defensive leaders on the other side of the ball aren't seeing eye to eye with Russ.
I'd be frustrated as well. Those defenders, they finally had like a bad game. And it was weird because it was the Panthers that were, and Sam Darnold, that was the opposing offense that brought them their maybe worst defensive effort of the season for the Broncos. But they'd be sitting at like 9-2 right now had they just been able to score 18 points in regulation of every game this season. So the defenders are really, really angry. And I guess this is a good opportunity to update our season-long stat of the day where Russell Wilson still has less touchdown passes than he does bathrooms in his home. He's now sitting at 8 touchdown passes on the season. He's got 12 bathrooms in the house. This is going to come down to the wire, boys.
It is, dude.
I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be like
Mr.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. This is going to be great.
I kind of want him to bounce back now because it's so tragic. I'm starting to feel bad for him.
Sucks. I want him to get through this season with 11 touchdowns.
Yeah, that would be epic.
And then turn it around, you know, next year maybe.
I appreciate you keeping us up to date on that story. It's an evolving one.
It is.
Are you seeing a different Zeke here with Stephen Jones?
Well, I do think, Zeke's one of those guys who's going to play regardless. And he's not going to look for any way out. He wants to be out there competing for his team. And I do think between, one, keeping him fresh, with this, with Pollard getting, a nice number of snaps game in and game out. And then, as you said, we were very conservative with him with the injury. And I do think he's fresh and certainly, feeling good about where he is. I just think it's a great combination between him and Pollard. It's a yin and yang, if you will, in terms of, Zeke, when he runs up in there, I know, I agree with you. I think he's hitting some holes and, not just lunging, but he's dishing it out. I promise you it wears on opposing defenses and certainly sets up nicely for Pollard when he sees those holes to use his, his best asset, which is his juice and acceleration, and certainly making big plays for us. So obviously a big part of our team, the offensive line and those two running backs being as physical as they are. We've got a good group of tight ends who get in there and fight. We're dressing 4 tight ends a game, which hadn't been our normal deal. But, when we have them all in there, it gives you some real versatility, not only to run the football in a real positive way, but certainly as we've seen, not only Schultz, but Hendershot and Ferguson as well are able to make plays.
Yeah, that's I think it's great that Zeke had that game, especially in a game where Pollard was not running well. I think there's been 4 games this year out of 11 where Pollard just hasn't had it. And, so it was great. And I do think Zeke had an extra gear.
Like, he did, yeah.
There was speed. There was urgency to his runs. I think watching Pollard blow up like that motivated or inspired him in a way to maybe run the same way.
It might have 5.8 yards per carry. It's been a while since we've seen that from Zeke. I love that little option, that read option, man, on that third down. Dak takes his little pitch out. Oh,
it was executed to perfection.
It got me tingly.
From Dak to Zeke to the line, the way they blocked that on the front side with Martin and Steele and Schultz getting some big blocks there. Yeah. And same for the, I believe it was the second quarter touchdown run for Zeke. And
the down block from that whole right side down to the center was just sex.
Yeah, the offensive line was to perfection on a couple of those blocks. So it is good to see Zeke do that. And I wonder if part of it is too is he's finally, like, this is the benefit. We've all talked about we want more Pollard, and the beauty of it is it gets to spell Zeke a little bit more.
Keeping both guys fresh, man.
Yeah, so Zeke is waking up, and he got a couple of weeks off with the bye and missing a game, and then in the Vikings game, he only played, like, what, 20 snaps or something like that?
Yeah.
And so I think you're talking about a Zeke who's a little bit more fresh than what he's used to being this time of year.
100%. And he, the continuation of that, Steven, talking about the tight ends – Brian, you're watching the All 22. They used that 13 personnel a lot.
Sure did.
They had Schultz, Ferguson, who had a great game, and then Hendershot, all 3 of them out there. And those 2 young tight ends, we've talked about it, they're getting dirty in the run game.
No, they're doing a
great
job.
They're getting physical and blocking their ass off.
And you're also getting really good combo blocks, too, from Martin and Steele. They're, all those guys are working well together. Let me ask you this real quick. Just real quick. This is the first time that that Pollard had more carries than Zeke in a game. Was it 18 to 16 in this last game?
It was. Last week.
I can't remember a game where Pollard's had more carries. Maybe it was a Rams game a while back. So
yeah,
I don't
last
know.
Week Pollard had more snaps, but Zeke still might have out-carried him.
They had the same amount of carries. They both had 15
That's
carries
right.
versus the
but
Vikings.
Pollard had more snaps
in this last game.
Yeah,
against
this game,
the,
Pollard did out-carry him.
Yeah. Yep. And
doesn't happen very often.
Do you think that, and one thing I admire too about these young tight ends is just their creativity. We had the roping situation with Dalton Schultz a few weeks ago, and then you have the whack-a-mole celebration.
Hell of a celebration.
These guys are evolutionizing, it feels like, the game of touchdown celebrations.
Evolutionizing. So, I love it.
Is that not a word? Maybe not.
I think it is now.
Yeah, it is now, man.
Yeah.
All words are made up, bro.
Evolutionizing.
Just use it like all week, and it's
you're
yours.
Wordsmith. Yes. Let's go.
You just say it with confidence, and it works.
Oh, it was evolving. Maybe I should have said evolving there.
No, evolutionizing.
Sounds better.
Yeah. We're evolutionizing the English language.
Stylistically, I liked your choice of words there.
Bobby Belt's coming up at 5:30. Our Cowboys Insider will hit the expressway. Everything that's been developing throughout your broadcast afternoon, all the top breaking news stories next here in the G-Bag Nation.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Oh, here we go, Nation. It's time to hit the expressway. 35 minutes of uninterrupted sports content. We do have Bobby Belt coming up in 8 minutes. We're 8 minutes from the beef. Bobby Belt himself, Cowboys Insider, and he'll be brought to you by the on-time experts. Every day at this time, we look at what's been developing throughout your broadcast afternoon, the top breaking sports stories. Hugh Freeze leaves Liberty, and he is taking the job at Auburn.
Hugh?
What kind of an impact is that going to have in your beloved SEC, Brian?
Huge.
Hide your kids, hide your wives.
Huge.
Huge impact. That man can recruit, and he did a great job at Mississippi. He's been here before. He understands the conference, and he has a lot of really good ties in the Southeastern Conference with the those high school coaches and stuff there. So, yeah, this will be he's back. He's one of those guys you have to deal with. Auburn, they've had a rough go at hiring these coaches. Cadillac Williams, by the way, did a nice job filling in.
Former
player. He was so upbeat and appreciated the opportunity. He was on the staff and all that, but here's Auburn once again starting over, but Hugh Freeze is a good get.
And Freeze's demise, Broadus, correct me if I'm wrong, it was with the work cell phone, escorts?
Yeah, that's what he was doing.
Got to use the other cell phone.
Yeah, he's always going to be taking an L on biggest L, biggest dub.
The perennial L taker. Well, maybe he's overcome that because now he's back in the SEC. Maybe once and for all, he's officially overcome. He's turned that L into a dub.
Well, certainly a candidate this week.
And Hugh Freeze is also a candidate for the greatest sports photo of all time when he coached a game up in the press box from a hospital bed while he was at Liberty. It's one of the most hysterical. He's got a sideline reporter, but it's up in the booth where he is stationed on his like gurney hospital bed deal. and they got a microphone in his face, like it's at the end
like
of one
what
of the
you're
quarters.
Expecting for Tua this week, right?
It is what I'm expecting for Tua this week. I believe Tua will be doing the post game show, his post game press conference after San Francisco demolishes him physically for four quarters, probably from a local Bay Area hospital bed. Absolutely,
what a legend.
Yeah.
He coached from a bed?
He coached from a hospital. It's one of the funniest, most amazing photos ever.
What was the medical thing? It wasn't heart, was it?
What was it?
Was it appendicitis?
I'll have to do some research on that. Look that up. And I believe now the only thing that might be competing with this Hugh Freeze photo for the greatest sports photo of all time is the photo of all the faces from the individuals that were there for the Sean Taylor unveiling. This weekend, that still shot of just a bunch of just deadpan,
blank,
like wax statue kind of faces that they're in awe of the incompetence of what they thought was going to be a statue and ended up being a mannequin-esque half-assed tribute to Sean Taylor.
Yeah, it was crazy, man. A lot of interesting things happened. I mean, last week when we left, it looked like Lane Kiffin was going to get the job there at Auburn, and he was mad at the media. It turns out the media was wrong, and they didn't want Lane Kiffin.
Okay, so he had a potentially fatal staph infection.
Okay. And he's coaching through this.
Yeah.
Must have been some great antibiotics.
Bro, I'm telling you, the photo is, it's right up there with, is it Bobby Petrino's press conference photo
when he
after
had the
motorcycle
oh
and the neck brace?
God.
That's a hell of a photo.
You know, that wasn't an accident. That guy's wife beat the crap out of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. He banged his face against the concrete a bunch.
Okay. Deion Sanders confirms he has been offered the job at Colorado. To someone else that has not been this dude, it's intoxicating, but I've been primed for a long time. Attention's nothing new to me. Come on, I'm not being braggadocious. That's a wonderful word, isn't it? I just came up with that, but this isn't new to me. Being in the spotlight is not new to me. He was asked if it was going to be a distraction for Jackson State as they finish up their season. It's a very interesting story, obviously. Former Cowboy, former NFL superstar. Is he going to become one of the top coaches in Division I football? Does he want to leave where he's already built something? And if so, would it be to Colorado?
No.
That's just a really interesting storyline.
It doesn't make any sense.
First time, what, 11-0, right? They finished the season? Jackson State 11-0?
They did.
Congratulations, man.
I think Deion can get a better job than Colorado.
I think he might hold out for that. Florida State had a bounce back. I could see Deion going back to Florida State and just completely making what like Miami used to be back in the 90s. You know, taking that and recruiting and all that and making Florida State great again.
How many years is Shadur?
That's his son.
Yeah, his son is playing quarterback right now. How many years do he have left? That's what I'll be watching until Deion makes a move.
You know what? I'd like to see, he might be, I hope he gets the opportunity. He's played well enough. I mean, he might be a finalist for the Heisman Trophy, and I don't know how many
years. He's a second-year sophomore right now.
Yeah.
So maybe one more year, but he could transfer.
Yeah.
You could take him
to bigger football and a chance to prove himself for NFL stock, maybe win a Heisman at a major.
He clearly deserves an opportunity to be one of the five finalists if they – they have the five, vote the five.
Well, did Deion say he came up with braggadocious?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's what that was.
I think
was.
He also said that wasn't the
that's
only
not
offer.
Right.
Yeah.
And not as good as Shia Follows wordsmithing.
That's right.
From last segment. I forget the word already.
Evolutionizing.
Melvin Gordon, running back. He's going to sign on with the Chiefs practice squad. Maybe we'll see him in the playoffs. The Michigan quarterback, McNamara, has entered the transfer portal. Rodgers is going to start Sunday if he can with the broken ribs. He's trying to go full Tony Romo.
McNamara is in the transfer portal?
He is.
That's their backup.
McCarthy's the starter.
MacArthur took the job.
God, from
McNamara.
What was I thinking?
McNamara did beat Michigan.
I was getting confused there.
Because I'm a big Blue fan now.
Yeah, you are a big Blue fan. Okay,
go Michigan.
I was about to say, is the starters already leaving?
No. JJ McCarthy is.
He's the starter. That's right.
He's an absolute savage.
Yeah. Okay.
McNamara's leaving, but yes, the Jordan Love stuff was fun yesterday. I don't know. I don't think that they should want Rodgers to start. I think you just see what you got from Jordan Love.
Yeah, let's take a look under the hood here. We're not going to make the playoffs. Jose Abreu joins the Astros. What the hell, man? He is 36 years old. The Cuban hit .304, .378, .446 with the White Sox last year.
How many dingers?
So it's 15? Yes, 15 home runs.
He can still hit the long ball. Chicks love that.
He had a dreadful first 5 weeks, was one of the best hitters in baseball over the final three quarters of the season. 15 home runs were a career low. But he joins a great lineup. We'll have lots of protection. It is time now. I look up at the clock. I know Bobby's coming up here any minute, but it's time for 120 seconds on World Cup Soccer. USA versus Iran tomorrow at 1. We'll be on the air for the second half. They are the favorite. They're at minus 107. Iran's plus 310. The draw is plus 235. Draw is as bad as a loss for the Americans. They need the dub to advance to the group stage. Now, they have allowed only one goal or fewer in 7 of their past 8 games. Defense is not the question. The bigger question is, can the USA score multiple goals and give themselves a chance? Iran have allowed 2 goals or more 5 times in their last 9 games. This is the team for a breakout. Iran has allowed 7 of England's 13 shots to find the target in game 1. 6 ended up in the net. They also held the ball for just 21% of the opening match and allowed Wales to hold the ball for 62% in Friday's game. So a lot of possession, a lot of shots on goal. For Iran's offense, prior to the World Cup, they had only scored multiple goals in a game once in their last 9 matches. They have scored 2 goals in each of their opening games. So it ain't going to be easy, but the USA is favored. There is some political drama in the story as well. Iran state media has called for the U.S. to be kicked out of the World Cup after the U.S. Soccer Federation changed Iran's flag on its social media platform to show support for protesters.
I knew you were going to do this.
You what song is this?
Flock of Seagulls.
You know me so well, sir.
Iran.
You know me so well.
I love it.
I knew he was going to do this.
U.S. Soccer says it wanted to change the official flag for 24 hours to show support for the women in Iran fighting for basic human rights, but always planned to go back to the original flag. State Department said, we look forward to a peaceful and competitive match. The U.S. continues to find ways to support the Iranian people in the face of state-sponsored violence against women and a brutal crackdown against the protesters. Iran is appearing at this World Cup under the shadow of domestic turmoil. The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Volker Turk, has said that the country is in a full-fledged human rights crisis as authorities clamp down on anti-regime dissidents. More things change, the more things stay the same. 1998, the Ayatollah Khomeini, you know, was in a different but similar type of a situation as the Iranians beat the U.S. 2-1 into their tournament. It is time now to catch up with our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt, here on The Fan. And a good evening, Robert. How the heck are
you? What's up? How are y'all, fellas?
Oh, we're doing good.
What'd you think about that 5.8 yards per carry for Zeke, Bob?
It was wonderful. It was great. You know, I'm not. I think it's great that we actually got to see him rest up for a couple weeks and actually rest through an injury instead of pointlessly try and push through it and play poorly. It's nice to see what he can do when he is healthy. I like that.
Me too.
Okay, how do you like this Tyron Smith story, and how close is he to returning? What game do you think he's going to play in?
I mean, I think we're getting closer, clearly. And, I mean, Mike McCarthy said as much today. You know, I still think that what do we got coming up here? We got the Colts, then the Texans. So let's for now say Jacksonville. I think you could see Jacksonville, or maybe at the latest Philly, but realistically, I think you're looking at Jacksonville. But this is, you know, they definitely could use him. I think that while the offensive line has been good, it's been stable. You still saw, like, there are going to be growing pains with Tyler Smith, like you saw on Thanksgiving, and he had a really rough day in pass protection against Kayvon Thibodeau and the Giants. And so I think that, you know, it couldn't come at a better time to, you know, hopefully alleviate any of this potential rookie wall that Tyler Smith might be hitting. And then, you know, have a healthy competition inside at guard, and then figure out what your best option is at guard, whether that's Connor McGovern or, you know, Tyler Smith at guard and Connor McGovern at the fullback, whatever that may be. But either way, I think it's good news that they're getting Tyron Smith back soon.
Should they be getting James Washington back? And is there any correlation between the James Washington decision and what ends up happening with Odell Beckham Jr.?
Yeah, I think they're just trying to figure out if they're going to have another receiver here or not before they do anything with James Washington. Because he's talked about recently, like, he could play. He's ready to go. And I know Mike McCarthy said they don't have any update in terms of activating his window. But I think that's just because they're trying to figure out if they're going to be adding Odell Beckham or not. And if they are, then they may not see a need to do anything right away with James Washington. So I think once they have an understanding of what receiver they're adding, if any, to the roster, that's when they'll decide to start looking to get him active and ready at that point.
Robert, have you ever been kicked off an airplane?
I have not. In fact, I mentioned this morning that I feel like, you know, there are a lot of areas of life where I'm willing to stand my ground and push back if I think something's wrong or somebody's wrong. But, like, on an airplane is not one of them. And so if I think if anything came down to you'll be kicked off the plane, I would just stop whatever I was doing.
Yeah, you're an adult, Bob, and we're really appreciative of that. Are you shaking in your boots, though, about your beard bet with Walchuk? Micah Parsons now 12 sacks, I believe, is the number. Ain't that right?
Yeah, but
I'm not shaking in my boots because I, honest to God, don't even remember what the bet was. What was it, Walchuk?
It was just shave we your had eyebrows, to shave our
everything on your face.
Face.
Everything on your face.
I don't remember eyebrows being part of this.
Yeah, but you just like to shave your beard, and you'll do that from time to time. So
I do. I won't, because I literally have not shaved it completely clean since me and my wife have been together. She won't look at me if I do it. So, I mean, I won't see her for 3 days.
That's what it is for us. It's
more like 3 weeks.
We got to clean and shave.
No, not 3 weeks. You've seen my beard. This thing will grow back in 3 days. I'll have a shadow. I'll be good. That's good.
I'll move and live with your wife for 3 days while you live at my house.
Oh, wow. Okay. Jeez.
That means you
Walchuk, I'm super aggressive.
You guys need to talk at the break?
You get Mrs. Walchuk, though.
I'll go over your schedule with you at your break.
What's that?
Pete. Killing me.
Remember what I said a few minutes ago about standing my ground, Walchuk? We're not on an airplane.
You can stand your ground. That's fine with me. Brian's getting uncomfortable.
He
doesn't get Bobby a nice humor.
The good news is, Bobby, is Walchuk's mom's going to show you some legendary hospitality.
Yeah, you'll have really good food.
Yeah, you're gonna.
Yeah, well, I mean, not as good as Chiafalo's mom's spaghetti, but I'm sure it'll be passable. You know.
Hey, Bobby, this whole thing is McCarthy.
Damn you, Bobby.
Is McCarthy playing this thing right with trying to think about the health of the team and all that, the practice times and all that? You know, is it one of those things you're just trying to? Is that something that kind of got them last year that they were healthy in the playoffs and really didn't do anything? Do you think he needs to kind of put the pedal down on this one?
No, I think health is absolutely important. I think that that's something to value. I don't have any problem with the way he approaches that. I know the players have an appreciation for the way he approaches that. I mean, I think last year we all saw like the biggest issue for them was just they weren't physical enough. They didn't have the right edge that I think they needed, and they've picked up more of that this year. I still don't think they're, you know, I wouldn't think of them as like the most tough blue collar football team in the NFL, but they've certainly improved in that area. And I don't think they're, you know, the type of completely soft, essentially finesse football team that they were at times last year. And so I think that if you can manage the health of your team, manage their workload and make sure that they're in a good spot while still being able to maintain that edge and that toughness, then that's valuable for them.
Michael Gallup back?
I mean, it sure looks like in the first half of games anyway, right? Like, isn't this two out of the last three or two straight games where Michael Gallup has been setting the world on fire in the first half, and then the second half it's more like CD? Yeah. I mean, this is – so I think it's just – I think we're finding it's important to get him going early. Like, Brian, you used to say that about Dez, right?
Right.
Like that getting Dez going early was – critical to keeping him engaged. I think you're just looking at that may be the way that they need to approach things with Michael Gallup, that if they want the best out of him, they need to make sure they're getting him touches early and that they can go for it. And that actually plays really well, given the fact that what you've seen from CeeDee Lamb this season, which there have been a couple times where he has a drop early in the first half or he misses a play or whatever else, and he gets kind of frustrated and he can start, you know, beating himself up. He's an emotional player who, you know, is not difficult on the sidelines in terms of with his teammates, but can, you know, be hard on himself sometimes. And I think that you've seen a few different games this year, both the Giants games, the Packers game, where he has struggles early and then he comes out and he's really, really strong in the second half and makes big, big catches in the second half. And so if that's the methodology that works out for them, where you're able to get those touches for Michael Gallup in the first half and kind of finish things off with CeeDee Lamb in the second half, then, you know, that certainly can be a winning formula.
Bobby, we appreciate your insights on these matters. As always, is there anything else before we let you go?
just that I love you all.
There he goes, Bobby Belt. Love him too. Okay. Before we get to LA Live real quick, I did want to mention in the expressway, then I got caught up getting to Bobby, the Mavericks adding Kemba Walker is a story. A guy just 32 years old, four-time All-Star in his 20s. Things didn't go well after he left Charlotte. He went to Boston. They had to move on. He went to New York. They had to move on. Detroit didn't even play him. But last year, he did shoot 36% from three, which is his career number. I think just his shooting with Tim Hardaway Jr. and Bullock throwing up bricks at the rate that they are, just getting another shooter and ball handler and passer, I think should give this team the opportunity to play a little bit more sustainable basketball. I don't think it's going to drastically change your trajectory. He's not bringing that Jalen Brunson magic back. But don't be surprised if Jason Kidd kind of like revitalizes his career and we have to update our takes on this in a couple, yeah, 2-3 weeks. That's what I'm hoping for right now.
I would welcome that. Can he be better than Tim Hardaway Jr.'s 17.2% from the field over the last four games during that four-game losing streak? Can he be better than the 2 of 19 from the three-point line that Tim Hardaway Jr. has been putting up over the last few games? I think he absolutely can. Are you guys surprised that he's only 32 years old?
Yes.
I was like, oh, he's only 32?
He was a four-year senior at UConn in 2010.
Or
2011.
Like,
March of 2011.
To channel that Madison Square Garden Kemba.
Need to check that birth certificate on old Kemba. I was blown away at 32. I would have guessed it easily 35. 32? Am I just having a little something?
If he was a Little League baseball player, I'd say, hell no, you're not. Get out of here.
Get the heck off my mound.
It's time now for LA Live with Lucius Alexander. Into the Pimp Cup we go.
Oh, yeah. I've got some headlines for you boys right after Rick, y'all.
Well, all right, you squares. Fire up this funk and let's have a toga. It'll make you dance some of everything. Everybody get high.
Hey! You guys seen that Shaq doc on HBO yet?
No.
You just reminded me of that when Shaq was in a Little League playing Little League basketball. Some guy came out there and grabbed his kid and said, if that dude is playing and if he's of age, he's going to be the best player the NBA has ever seen.
And he is of age.
And he was right.
Yeah.
He was right.
And he was pretty
It's crazy around 12 or 13 how big some kids get all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You're like, this isn't the same sport for them.
This man was like, Shaq was like 6 foot at 13.
Dang.
What?
There's a 12-year-old I keep seeing. He keeps coming up in my TikTok feed.
Yeah.
But he's like 6'6", dunking at 12 years old, going behind the back and throwing dimes and stuff. He's the next. Mm. He's already on the way.
Mm. LA Live for November 28th, 2022. Just got an update. The word of the year is gaslighting.
Okay.
Facts. Real talk is really the word of the year, which reminds me of Gaslit. It's a little show about Watergate scandal.
Oh.
Yeah, it's on Stars, I think. Oh. It's really good. Question for the... What's up?
I thought Evolutionizing was going to be the song.
You know what? Let me scratch that off, man.
It was a late entry, though, Lucius. I think I should have threw that out there like maybe before football season.
Yeah, we should have been rolling that for a minute. It probably would have caught on for sure.
It was on me.
For sure. We still got time, no dog. Question for the Tolos. We had families and everything together. We had a holiday. What's the best feeling? What is the best feeling? Just that. That's it. What's the best feeling, y'all?
I would say winning.
Okay.
The gift of giving.
Overrated.
Yeah. Somebody said the night before your day off.
Oh, hell yeah.
Unless you're Bassick. For some reason, it makes Bassick go absolutely nuts.
Well, that's the day before.
Yeah.
Maybe it gets better in the night. I don't know.
That's a good point.
Payday on Friday with no bills due.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. You're going to blow that whole check that weekend.
Yeah, just don't. Yeah.
Yeah. Right under that was being financially secure.
Okay.
Yes.
I imagine that would be a hell of a feeling.
I've never can't relate.
When your nostril finally unclogs.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Waking up thinking it's time to go to work when you look down at your phone and actually realize you have more hours.
Bro. That's crazy.
It is just one of the most incredible feelings in the world.
The relief of urinating. Like when you've been holding that sucker in.
Oh, yeah.
It's a real bad one.
When you finally let it go.
Oh,
making it home when you've been prairie dogging for a while.
Man.
That's a really good feeling.
You don't have to walk the dog or nothing. You can go straight to the bathroom. I always got chores and stuff when I get home. Oh, honey, can you? I'm like, man, you see the sweat coming up on my forehead.
And he waddled away.
I would still attest that the single greatest feeling in the world is when that waiter rounds the corner with the sizzling hot beef fajitas. Oh, you were the one that ordered the feed.
That is a good feeling.
I like that one.
That's a great feeling.
I like that one. This one right here, taking your bra off at the end of the day.
Well, Chuck.
My old lady does that. When she does it, I say, release the hounds.
Bra.
Release the hounds.
Release the hounds. Flip them flapjacks around, girl. Let's see. Hitting all the green lights when you're on the way to somewhere.
Boy, that is underrated.
That is.
Okay. There's plenty more. If you've seen some out there, just send them to the fan text. If you know anything, just send to the fan text, yo. We're going to keep it growing. Let's see. G-Bag of the Day, we do it every day here at 2:30 on The Fan. Our winner is Hornets announcer Eric Collins. My man was stressed out the last minutes of the Hornets game. Hornets were up by 3. All they had to do was just kill the clock, move the ball a little bit, you know, dribble it out or whatever. But somebody was getting ready to take a shot.
Point lead. Terry. Bat it around. No! Yes! Just hold the ball!
Wow!
Wow. Kelly Oubre almost fired that up there.
Yeah, he did.
Kelly Oubre almost pulled a boner.
Oh. I wouldn't want to do that in a game.
Oh, Kelly.
Kelly Wilding. Oubre, very accommodating.
Wow, man. I was going to play this earlier.
Is that Josh Primo?
Sorry.
I was going to play this earlier for G-Bag of the Day. A lot of announcers taking shots at people. Randomly on the microphone, here's an announcer taking a random shot at quarterback Zach Wilson during a college basketball game. It has nothing to do with Zach Wilson, but here we go. College basketball game, Vandy and St. Mary's, by the way.
Just over a minute 30 to go, and Liam Robbins, who just checked back into the game, throws an errant pass. They call that the Zach Wilson, I believe.
People whose Twitter handle is... You're sending shots. You're not a Jets fan, are you?
No, of course not.
Nope, I just wanted to take a shot.
Just wanted to take a shot.
Nope.
Nope, not at all.
Oh, just little errant pass, yeah.
Yep.
That's a Jets fan.
That's all.
That is a Jets fan.
Yeah. I got some headlines real quick, fellas. NASA expects humans to live and work on the moon by 2030.
What?
2030. This is from a NASA official, says we're going to be sending people down to the surface and they're going to be working and living on the moon.
You know, they say your muscles atrophy and all that weird stuff.
What
and
the hell?
Like, how could you stay up there for that long?
No, bro.
Just you know,
more protein, I thought 2030 bro. Was crazy. 2060, I would be like, okay, maybe 2030 is wild.
More push-ups.
I'd love it.
That's 8 years.
I want to go. Wait, so you're telling me, Lucius, we're going to end up living on the moon before soccer becomes a legit sport in America?
You got to be kidding me, Lucius.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, well played.
What is this? The World Horse or a World?
Hosting the bleeping World Cup, man.
I'm so glad you guys are stepping all over me because I'm screwing this up right here.
Yeah, you're good.
I'm so glad you're doing it. The World Health Organization is renaming monkeypox as Mpox, citing racism concerns.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Huh.
Don't want to offend all the monkeys.
The monkeys are upset. Yeah. The monkeys are upset.
What are we doing?
Here we come.
Oh, what are we doing?
Looking at the monkeys, yeah.
Maybe that's why the gorilla at the Dallas Zoo stares at you so much.
What are we doing?
He's got an attitude, boy.
Yeah, I heard about that monkeypox.
I'll tell you what, man.
It's real funny.
Planet of the Apes movies, that'll scare the hell out of you, man. Those monkeys talking.
Oh, yeah.
I did not start this war.
Yeah.
Beyond Meat. The plant reportedly shows disgusting conditions. Nasty, disgusting conditions. Let's go to Cheddar TV real quick.
New photos and documents out of Beyond Meat, Chloe, show filthy conditions and food safety issues in that Pennsylvania plant. Products from the plant tested positive for listeria. You can see pictures taken by a former employee inside the plant.
Snitch.
Show spills, unsafe equipment, and mold there. Wow. Internal reports also reveal foreign materials like string, metal, wood, and plastic were found in food from the plant.
Oh, wow.
At least as recently as last December.
Yeah, you know, it's a horrible idea to try to make fake versions of meat. Just eat your vegetables and fruit and nuts.
Seriously, speaking
have some
of
beans.
Like stock, during the pandemic, their stock went through the roof. Yeah. It was crazy. It, like, you're watching it, and I was like, okay, because all these plants, all these, like, they couldn't open these meat packing companies and stuff like that. They couldn't operate. Yeah. They were having problems. And all of a sudden, this plant-based company making meat, you're like going, wow, I need to watch it. It was crazy, the jump that they had during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Didn't the CEO, he was like biting somebody's nose?
Yeah, that did happen.
Hear that.
He did bite a man's nose off.
It's like a bunch of crazy hippies.
Eat a bunch of fake meat and you'll drive yourself crazy.
Craving real meat.
It's like as bad as bath salts.
How you going to be the CEO of a plant-based?
The penguin and Batman.
Give me some.
Don't eat meat. I eat humans. Thank you.
There we go. Let's go to NYC. One of my favorite mayors, Eric Adams.
Yeah, he's the man.
He's declaring war on rats. There's a rat problem up there in New York, clearly, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, people talk about New York, the rats wear Tims and stuff like that. You know
giant
what I mean?
Giant ones, man.
Big old rats, like, size of cats.
Yeah, they'll drag off with your pizza, you know, if you're eating at a
they
patio.
They sure will. Yeah. They sure will. Oh. Well, there's a war on rats up there, and
Master Splinter.
Eric Adams took a little heat by saying he was going to kill all the rats. In fact, he did kill some rats, and he took a little heat for this.
He just mad at him?
People are mad at him. You know, people like to be mad.
Sure.
Here's a little bit of this.
Everyone that knows me, they know one thing. I hate rats. You know, when we started killing them in Borough Hall, you know, some of the same folks are criticizing us now called me a murderer because I was killing rats. Well, you know what? We're going to kill rats.
Yeah.
Today, we are announcing a once-in-a-generation change that would have a real impact on the cleanliness of our city. We are drastically reducing the amount of time that garbage will remain on our curb, keeping our streets cleaner for a longer period of time, and discouraging rodents from running their own version of what we like to say open restaurants.
Smart.
Yeah. Jeez, man.
But that's not the only time we've talked about the rats in New York. Apparently, it's a really, really big problem where they have to get all of the politics together, all the politicians, all the politicians together to come up with plans on how to get rid of the rats.
Okay.
Listen to this.
Have you had your own personal experiences with rats?
Yes. Far too many. Far too many. When I purchased my home, I had a real rat infestation. We removed and killed 79 rats when I purchased.
By the way, you can like pull out of purchasing a home if there's a rat infestation, right? You don't have to keep going.
Yeah. Okay, got a good deal.
Must really like the home.
Yeah,
it must have been something. It is New York. Yeah. It's hard to get some land now.
My house to do a renovation. Brooklyn Borough Hall. We put devices, the rat traps around Brooklyn Borough Hall. We collected 96 rats. Now, people demonized me back then. If you look at all the stories, people were saying, why are you killing those poor little creatures? You know, but I think every New Yorker can tell you their rat story. And if you walk down the block and a rat runs across your foot, you never forget it. Uh-uh. Every time you walk down that block, you relive that. If you see a rat in your home, you never feel comfortable in that room in your house again. For whatever reason, I don't know what it is, rats do something to traumatize you, and you never live through it. And I hate rats.
Yeah. Rat PTSD would be real for me, bro.
He's not wrong, though.
No,
about,
hell no.
You see, like, I know even like a roach in a room or something.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, where did that come from?
Yeah.
There's got to be others. Just not that one.
They're in the walls.
They were my roommates, the roaches were in college.
Oh,
just a disaster.
In Denton, in the apartments in Denton, it was bad. Somebody texted in, this guy sounds like Tracy Morgan.
Tracy Morgan, my doodle pamper.
He really did.
My daughter. You know, like the rats.
Rats are a big fear for me, man.
I'm scared of them, bro. I don't like how they're like all furry, but they have butt naked tails.
It's the tail.
That makes no sense to me. It's
tail,
long,
man.
And nasty.
Oh, it's so nasty.
Gross.
Get a bunch of like, what do you got to do? Everybody's got to show up with a bunch of like flamethrower guns and just
like
attack
it.
These things at
how
once.
You
got to nuke these things.
That's going
to
smell
I think
nasty.
It's, I think fire's the only way to compete with these guys.
Fire's a good option.
They're breeding at a rapid rate.
Just give me a sword, and we're just going to...
Okay, Walchuk, I will give you a sword.
I'd like a nice pellet gun with a scope on it.
Yeah, just dot them.
There you go.
Let's make a sport out of it.
We do probably need versatility in our artillery.
Yeah, we'll be like the rat squad.
I mean, you guys can be brought in if they're in like a concrete park area with the flamethrower.
I want to have the flamethrower personally.
You know what I found out is really weird about rats? They'll live in this little confined little small areas, and their tails will get kind of caught on each other, and they'll get stuck. And really? they'll end up eating each other alive.
Oh no!
Yeah. That's disgusting.
To try to get away.
They deserve it, like hamsters.
Kind of like trying to tangle Christmas lights.
They all do that. Go tail to tail.
Yeah, they get tail to tail. And one more thing before I get out of here. The fan zone in Newcastle, wherever Newcastle is. Where's Newcastle? Is that England?
Northern England.
Yeah. All right. Oh, look at Lucius. Here we go. The fan zone in Newcastle. They were having a watching party for the World Cup.
Okay.
And they couldn't get the channel right.
Uh-oh.
So they had all these soccer hooligans out there getting a little upset at them for not getting the channel right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, let's see.
The game's on, man. Boy, what's the carpet? Get the England match on. Put the bloody game on. Oh, it's the wrong channel. It's the wrong channel. Channel 3, you fix. It's not 4. Put channel 3 on, you f***ing love it. 3. Put 3 on. Not 4. Put 3 on. God. Scroll up, you f***ing. Put fucking 3 on.
They were singing, going crazy. It was on the wrong television show. I think it was like a car chase they were watching. But at the very end, when it sounded like a score, that is actually them finally getting it on.
Yeah. He's done it. He got the game on.
Yeah.
We did it.
All right, that's it for me, Dawson, unless you have something to
appreciate
say.
Appreciate it.
The Welsh and the English fans getting into a massive brawl with each other.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, that happened.
Yeah, that's good television.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my Hulu keeps freezing during the World Cup. It's like it's congested or whatever.
Yeah.
So like 20 minutes to go of USA England on Friday, it just decided to stop. So I watched the rest of the game on the phone, and for a lot of the matches, it's stopping like 4 or 5 times.
Could you tell when there's a shot and all that? Were you like panicking on your phone? You're like, oh!
No,
oh,
I mean, I got a pretty good view on my phone. I mirrored it to the TV, then it was dragging. It doesn't have the frame rate refresh. So it's a disaster. I just got to go back to regular cable. Listen, cutting the cord was a mistake. Okay? It's not that much cheaper, and it's a vastly inferior product. We got to go, Nation. When we return, it is time for the 6 o'clock college football super segment. We'll get you up to speed on everything happening in the amazing world of college football. We got to do this giveaway, though. Caller 10 at 877-881-1053. Thanks to Lucius for picking you up on that. I almost messed up. You get a pair of tickets to see your Cowboys take on the Colts at AT&T Stadium on Sunday night, courtesy of Miller Lite. This is Party Passes. Caller 10 at 877-881-1053. And we're back here in the G-Bag Nation.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.